David Dukes currently stars on Broadway in Amadeus. In the motion picture Without a Trace, was recently seen in Winds of War, and he's, in my opinion, one of the great actors in this country. Our wind-up night tomorrow night will be spent with Debbie Reynolds, opera star Donald Graham, and actor Ben Gazzara. We go back to the phone calls in Hanford, California. Hello.
Hello, Larry.
Hi.
Hey, I remember I saw you in the All in the Family. You played as part of the rapist.
Yes, I certainly did.
By the way, in a recent write-up on All in the Family, that was singled out as one of the great All in the Families when you were the attempted rapist of Edith Bunker.
Yeah.
I enjoyed you in Winds of War, too.
Oh, thank you.
I went to school with Dan Michael Vincent. And he was a wild, crazy guy when I went to school with him. How is he now?
Oh, well, he's a wild and crazy guy, but he's an ultimate professional. We had a wonderful time on the show, Jan Michael and I. We got to be very good friends because we, you know, spent a lot of time together. You know, in 12 weeks in Zagreb, Yugoslavia, there's nothing else to do. So you just get to know each other. So we had a great time. Now, he's a wild and crazy guy, but he pulls it together when it's time to work.
Thank you very much. What was it like doing that All in the Family?
That All in the Family was one of the more fascinating experiences I've ever had. I mean, I remember getting the call, would you want to come in Monday and rape Edith Bunker? And I said, well, sure, I got nothing better to do. And so you wonder, and I remember sitting down, and the script was horrible. And I remember all of us sitting around just sort of looking at each other after the first reading of this script and saying, this is just... It was only the first half hour at that point. And she would run next door, they'd say happy birthday to you, and that was over, on to something else next week. I couldn't imagine why we were all there. Neither could they. On Tuesday that week, that was on Monday, on Tuesday that week, the company, I mean, Carol O'Connor and all those folks, they just sat down and said, we ain't doing this. We're not doing this. And then Norma Lear came in with the research lady, and they discussed what they wanted to do. So then they decided to add the second half hour and, you know, make it something. So then on we went. Then we had to try and make this first half hour the setup. And then just working on all that writing. And we rewrote and rewrote it. And I got so involved in trying to make this tension comedy, serious comedy thing work with Jean. She's, you know, I mean, I've never worked with anybody quite like that. And we did this back and forth. So by the time I got the 5:30 taping on Friday, for those who don't know, it's a videotape show. So you tape it at 5:30, you tape it at 8, and then they splice those two together to make the air show, the show that you finally see on the air. So we got the 5:30 taping. It's a live audience. And by this time, I'm so busy thinking about the show. I don't know what the show's, you know. I've forgotten who I'm doing this to, that this is America's Sweetheart. And so suddenly I come out there, and I remember the first time I did something to her that, I remember I locked the door. And they said, oh, he's the rapist. This is going to be really funny. You get that kind of a laugh from the audience. And I remember I did something to her that was not very funny. But it wasn't, you know, and they were, it was like a silence. There was no laugh. There was no response. It was like they didn't really know. Maybe it's a bad actor. And then I finally did. I ripped her dress or did something that was like, really, this is a serious rapist. And it was, the audience went, oh. I've never had an audience growl at me. And I've never felt hate from an audience like that. And it just, they hated me. And then through the whole course of the show, I mean, it built. So when she finally kicked me out at the end of that first half hour episode, they stood up, they cheered, they stamped on the thing. The one hold we had while they repositioned the cameras was while she went around behind the set and got in position for her next entrance. But even after she got there, they still had to hold because the audience wouldn't quiet down. And they went on and they screamed and they laughed. And I remember when I came out for the little curtain calls they give to the live audience after the taping's over, they still wouldn't applaud me. They still hated me. I never felt anything like that. It was the most amazing experience.
David Dukes is our guest. We go to Toledo, Ohio. Hello.
Hi, David.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I have two questions. The first is, I was wondering, since you've been involved in the play Amadeus, if you've developed a special love for Mozart's music, because he's my favorite composer.
I've always liked Mozart's music. I now have developed a great fascination for him because you realize what the life he went through and what the genius he was. Also, I never quite realized what he was in the history of music. I mean, he was that bridge from the Age of Enlightenment to the Romantics, and he changed the face of music, and I had never quite realized that before.
Right, his importance is, I think, sometimes understated.
Oh, yeah.
My second question is, are you single?
As a matter of fact, I got married 4 weeks ago yesterday.
Oh, you have a lucky bride.
Well, thank you.
fine answer.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. With David Dukes, Pittsburgh. Hello.
Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello, yes. My name is Paul, and recently in New York, I met you backstage with a girl named Kathleen, and we talked about Jim Dunn.
Oh, right, yes.
And the College of Marin.
Right, hello.
How are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Very well. I'd like to just take this opportunity to say thank you very much for being so very hospitable and kind with your time. I realize how busy you were and how much I very much enjoyed the show.
Oh, well, thank you.
Did you see Amadeus too, sir?
Yes, I did. I saw it twice, as a matter of fact. And
yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
He was absolutely fantastic. And I have to say that the second time that I saw it, watching you, I understood a lot more of what was going on because I thought you had a much better grasp of the language of the play.
Oh, thank you.
And I had a question for you. I wanted to, since I'm a struggling actor here, I wanted to ask you what particular obstacles you had to overcome as an actor, since you didn't have any specific training as such, but I guess had to pick it up as you went along.
Oh, great. I didn't have a strong set. My father's from Alabama, my mother's from Oklahoma, so I had a slight southern accent when I started. And so I had to lose that fairly early on in doing the classic theater. I had to lose that to begin with, to do classical theater. And then what I've developed is a classical voice, what we call a mid-Atlantic accent. So now nobody thinks I'm American. So they all think I'm English. Yeah, well, once you put all those consonants and vowels on your tongue, it's hard to get rid of them. So now my problem is to convince everybody that I can play the guy off the street, too, what we call street parts. So the real obstacles I faced are just getting the next job.
Did you have any technical problems like bringing yourself into your part at all? Do you understand what I mean?
No, I never really did. There's a certain advantage to not have done all that method training. I mean, Stanislavski never intended all that stuff. To be done. He always said it should be done 10 years later, after you've done voice, speech, and movement, and you've got 10 years experience. Then you understand that stuff. And I guess I was lucky, and that's sort of the way it happened for me, because I just started doing it. I was a comedian to begin with, and then got into all the other stuff, and then suddenly it was many years later that I started, trying to bring a sort of humanity to the work and stop just getting laughs and just telling the story. I don't know. To me, there's always obstacles. I mean, every time out, there's a little something that's learned. Each time out. Another acting 1A lesson gets learned sometime, simplicity.
Thanks very much. We'll be right back with David Dukes. Our guest is David Dukes. He stars in the film Now Playing Across America, Without a Trace. He stars in Amadeus on Broadway, recently in Winds of War. We go to Columbus, Ohio. Hello.
Hi, Larry. I want to tell you, terrific the Winds of War was. We had it here in Columbus for about 5 nights. Enjoyed every night of it. Other thing I want to tell you, Larry, my mother passed away 12/29/82 last year. You'd want to listen to Larry King every night of her life.
Well, thank you. Every night he was on.
Why, we had to have Larry King.
Well, thank you very much.
And I knew he would appreciate that.
Thank you for telling me. With David Dukes, New York City. Hello.
Speaking to me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Fine.
Listen, Mr. Dukes, I got to say, the first time I ever heard about you was purely by accident. You might mention another. It was on a TV show that you had done called Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, my God. Years ago.
I remember about that. I didn't really remember you, but you played off with a woman who I thought was that the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. A lady by the name of Donna Benz.
Oh, yeah, Donna Benz. Yeah, she's still in L.A.
LA?
Yeah.
I hope you weren't going to tell me that was the lady you married a couple weeks ago.
No, I married a wonderful poet and writer named Carol Muskie. Donna's still married to a dentist fellow, and she lives in LA and tries to find work. It's hard being an Oriental actress in LA. Oh, yeah, she certainly was. She was good, too.
Thank you very much. Do you prefer New York to Los Angeles?
I do. I just think New York's so exciting. Every time I come here, the adrenaline pumps. And it's also a city where everything works for me in this city.
LA's
been very good to me, and I have a house there, but we have an apartment here, too. And it's I just love coming back here.
We go with David Dukes to Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi. Hi.
Question that I have is something probably like the chicken and the egg type of thing.
Yes.
There are writers, there are actors. I'm only asking a question because somehow my thinking has kept me from enjoying the theater. I believe that the writer is the more creative force, and the actor is somewhat parasitic. And I don't mean that to you individually, Mr. Dukes. The actor comes after the fact. The writer must be the creative drive in it.
And why does that turn you off theater?
Because I feel, in a sense, that the actor is a living off of the creative efforts of the writer.
Well, that's what its purpose, though. The writer writes for the actor to act.
Not necessarily.
Why would he write the play?
A man can write a book.
Well, we're not talking about a book. You're talking about theater. You're talking about a play written for actors.
No, I'm not being that specific.
Well, why would you write it? You said theater. The only reason to write a play is to have it performed.
Well, I'm thinking theater in general, in taking a book that has been written and then turning it into either a theater or a play or a movie.
Why does that bother you?
Because the question or the what simile I pose in that the writer is more creative and the actor is living off the...
Well, I've always felt that an actor is an interpreter, and if you consider the writer the architect, he comes up with the blueprint, but he's only as good as his general contractor. And if you can write the most gorgeous print for a building, and if the man doesn't build it properly, it crumbles.
That's a very good answer.
And so I've always felt, because the audience never sees the writer. They only know, and I've watched actors ruin good plays, and I've watched good plays being ruined by bad actors. It happens all the time.
Thank you very much. With David Dukes, we go to Oak Park, Michigan. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Oak Park, Michigan.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Duke, I enjoyed your performance very much in The Wings of War.
Thank you.
I would like to know very much how much research was done on that documentary. Because I'm a survivor of 11 people from Bialystok in Poland. As a Jewish person, the Jews were persecuted by the Polish people as much as they were by the Germans.
Yes, so I understand. I didn't do a lot of research about that because that wasn't germane to my character wasn't involved with that. But Herman did a lot of research about all that. I mean, he spent years putting that the novel, both novels, Winds of War and War and Remembrance together. I couldn't answer many questions about that, but a great deal of research was done. I mean, I did research about the period myself, but more about what my character was involved with, which wasn't that.
Thank you very much. With David Dukes, Flint, Michigan. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to ask Mr. Dukes to tell him that I haven't had the opportunity to see him in anything except on television. And one of my favorites was on the Barney Miller Show. When he was a lawyer who aspired to be in a baseball.
Yes, always, yes. Yes, he played a what? A lawyer who wanted to be, he'd always wanted to play baseball, but his mother made him become a lawyer.
Yes, he'd go all the way to the Supreme Court, but Warren Burger was never on the bubble.
Just, we had a wonderful time putting that. That's another one where we had no script the first day and we invented it for the entire shoot.
Was that a fun show to do?
Oh, they were a wonderful group of people.
That's what I wanted to know, if you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, they were great, because Max Gale I'd known from before. We'd known each other in the theater and whatnot, but Hal Landon and all the rest of them I met, you know, there on the set. But Danny Arnold, the producer, director of, well, he was the director of that. No, let's see, Hal Landon directed that episode, but Danny was a producer, and he was also one of the main writers on the show. And it just was such a family, the way the whole thing was put together.
When a good show is successful, there is a lot of that feeling, isn't it?
Oh.
You can tell when you come to work on it that these people are cooking.
These people like each other, and they come in, and they, you know, and it's one of those things when you talk to somebody, and conversation just happens with some people, and, you know, and the work just happens. And I know it myself with actors. I mean, it just happens sometimes. People just click.
Thank you very much. With David Dukes, we go to Memphis, Tennessee. Hello. Thank you.
Mr. Duke, mm-hmm. I'm an aspiring young actor, and I'm planning to come up to New York towards the end of this year. I've been going to school and getting my master's degree and everything,
uh-huh.
And I've certainly enjoyed your work in the pieces that I've seen.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, what you think of Kate Delegant as an actress, and was she fun to work with? And number two, in Without a Trace, I was sort of confused in your last scene. I was wondering, I kind of got the impression that maybe you had done it at that point. And I was wondering if that was the impression that I was supposed to get, or whether I misinterpreted the scene or what. I really felt like that you had kidnapped the child at that point.
Well, no, that was never the intention. The last scene, do you mean the hospital scene?
No, I mean the scene with you and Miss Delegant at dinner.
Oh, the argument thing. Oh, no. That was just a scene where you're watching somebody. You're watching somebody doing themselves in, and they're so caught up with it that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been married or separated or had a girlfriend you loved and suddenly you're apart, but you're watching them go through something and you're trying helping them, and you get into these arguments again, and you're trying to be as good and kind and caring as you can be, and you just, all that's wrong with your relationship just sparks out.
What would she like to work with?
I had a wonderful time with it. She's an amazing actress, especially on, I just saw her in Plenty too, not too many weeks, a play here in New York on Broadway. She's an amazing find as an actress. There just aren't many people like that.
Do you like working with Judd Hirsch?
Oh, yeah. Judd, I'd work with. We worked on The Law together years ago, and there's not only a good actor, but a funny man and a funny actor, too. But yeah, it was a great time.
With David Dukes, we go to St. Louis. Hello.
I'd just like to say Mr. Dukes answered my questions for his first miniseries with 7th Park Avenue.
79 Park Avenue, yes, it was.
That was the first time I had seen him. I thought the last scene in that was a tearjerker for a half hour after.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
And you may not consider yourself the first-rate star, but I didn't know you were going to be in Winds of War, and I didn't want to watch it until I saw you were in there. When you're in the story, I know there's one excellent part, and I think you're great.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. One more call for David Dukes, Memphis. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Dukes.
Uh-huh.
I wondered, in Winds of War, was Robert Mitchum, when he was not playing the role, as cold a person as Buck Henry came across?
Oh, no, not at all. No, the character was a very taciturn and...
No, he was everybody. He was all of us watching.
But he was also, he was the observer, so he was, he was very much, I mean, he described the part as he was a pylon at an air race and everything, you had to make turns around him. And, but no, he's a wonderful, he's a wonderful guy.
He is.
Oh, we had wonderful, because just going out with him afterwards, I mean, because he's got stories, I mean, he's got a lifetime of stories, and he's endlessly fascinating. He's also interested in people.
This image he tries to give off of not caring, like, well, I just came in and did it today and went home.
But, you know, I mean, there's all this guy, you know, who just sit around and grouse. That's the way they do it. And that's, I mean, it's, I don't know, service training or wherever he got it. But it's his method. And he's very funny.
Did you like Sinatra?
Yeah, I did. We got along famously. You know, he was. I got along with him fine. There's a lot of people who complain about him, but I had a wonderful experience with him.
You will finish your tour in Amadeus when?
May, mid-May.
Then what?
Then back to L.A. And then we'll see. I mean, you know, Max von Sydow once said, actors are wallflowers at a dance, waiting for someone else to ask them to dance. And that's the life of the actor. And you can just sort of bop around and show everybody who can waltz well and hope that they'll ask you. So I go back out there hoping somebody will ask me to dance.
Despite all this acclaim, they're not...
Oh, I have. I'm getting offers now. I mean, but I've known too many people who have achieved some kind of fame or notoriety, and then they don't work for a while. So I never expect it, and I'm always surprised by it. So life is very happy. But I, we'll see. I mean, I expect to go out there and work. Yes.
Would you do a situation comedy?
No, I would not do a television series at the moment. I was just offered one not long ago.